Grimm.
Yes?
You spoke of the Marion Red, of the gentleman who had the concern to go to Hawaii. And you said he described the people as they were before they were contaminated by Western influence. And yet, in the body of his concern, he spoke of their being in darkness, and he was going to take them to light. Now, how is he going to do that without simply communicating Western?
Well, maybe he was a pioneer of Western culture. I don't know. Of course, I think the missionaries did not always have a good effect on the natives. They deprived the natives of their own religion, which
that's what I'm really getting at. No,
and substitute another religion, which they were quite incapable of reaching. Now, I think Daniel Wheeler felt, of course, as a Quaker, he could feel that they already had some religious truth. And George Fox wrote to the Quaker prisoners in Algiers who were slaves. He told them to answer that of God in their owners, saying that their owners had something of God in them, and so they could appeal to that. And when he wrote to the colonists in America, he said, answer that of God in the Indian kings. So I think a Quaker would have a slightly different attitude toward a native religion than an ordinary missionary. The ordinary missionary would say that religion is entirely false, is completely pagan, and therefore must be replaced by another. If a Quaker understood the real spirit of his religion, he would hold that religion had some truth in it, that it wasn't entirely false, and that they would gain something by it. And there are books written by Quakers which quote, George Fox quoted the Koran in writing to the Bey of Algiers, trying to show him that he was against his own religion. And his own religion taught him something better than what he was doing. That is, you would assume, if you had the right Quaker attitude, and all Quakers don't have it by any means, you would assume that even in the most primitive religion, there was something true and valid which they should seek to, that they were worshiping an unknown God, perhaps, without knowing what they were doing, and that their God was a kind of impersonation, perhaps, or sample of the God of the universe. He might take an attitude of that kind. So theoretically, a Quaker missionary ought not to replace the native religion with his religion. He ought to adapt it if he really believes in what he says he believes in. That there is something of God in a native Polynesian as well as in everybody else.
Yeah. These clear directions and calls that the prophets used to receive in the Old Testament, and also the clear directions that were given to some of the Quakers, seems to me should be sharply differentiated from the experiences of St. John of the Cross and St. Francis. The clear call to do a certain thing at a certain time, even Quakers thought should be carefully investigated. And it was often, and I suppose sometimes it could even be spurious.
Yeah.
It could be a product of the subconscious and so on. But these ecstasies that you were talking about earlier, they don't call for any they are ineffable to begin.
That's right. No specific action.
And they don't want any justification at all. In fact, they wouldn't. You remember Blaise Pascal, who wasn't an inarticulate man, he wrote it down in a few words, and all we got after we discovered him appeared was glory, bright, radiance. He couldn't describe it. He didn't try to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think some of the Quakers, especially some of the early ones, had a wrong idea of prophetic ministry. They thought that God was speaking through them about the way you might speak through a megaphone, literally telling them what to say. But that idea was given up and doesn't exist anymore, because everybody knows that any communication would be colored, or as I heard someone put it, the water would taste of the pipes. That is, it would be somewhat altered by the instrument through which it was transmitted. That's bound to happen. God doesn't use you in that way. He respects your personality. He's given you freedom of will, and you are a free individual, and he doesn't act on you the way a slave owner would do. Paul makes that sharp distinction in his letter to the Galatians. You used to be slaves to the law, and you did the law, you acted according to the law blindly, whether you knew it was right or wrong. Now you're sons of God. You're free, and you act freely according to the Spirit within you. And that's quite different from carrying out a rule or a command, an order. But I know that some Quakers have had a misconception of prophetic ministry, not realizing that every message is sure to be somewhat colored by the personality through which it comes. I remember
the Friends Service Committee sent people to work in France in the First World War in the relief work. Some of the French people bring up this kind of a statement. It is a pity that these people cannot preach what they practice. George Fox thought it was very important to learn the languages so you could make your efforts a little better understood. Howard, I think it's about time to
I'm not presiding over the jacket or not.
Well, no, the president has just come out, but I guess we mustn't tire Howard anymore.
I'm not tired. This is a subject where there are a good many different opinions are possible. I don't pretend to be an oracle that can tell you exactly what should or should not be done.
The Friends will have the opportunity from 7:15 through until 9:30 this evening to talk among themselves. Oh, there's the chairman sitting in the back row. You better